This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia's public lecture series resumes this evening, 7 p.m. at Publica's Black Box. Speaking tonight is B.C. Ang, one half of the Kuala Lumpur-based WHBC Architects, and the subject of his talk is Conversation with the Situation, which is where we'll begin our conversation today. So what is the situation? Can you give us kind of a trailer about what you'll be talking about?
We'll be talking very much about having a dialogue with a design situation that you find yourself in, and how do you respond to this kind of design situation in a creative manner, forming a solution that glues everything together.
So when you say design situation, can you give us an example for non-architects among us? What would constitute a problem or a situation you need to dialogue with?
Right. For instance, we have a project that's actually a wedding showroom, and the wedding business is actually very competitive. So what they do is they need to catch your attention, bring you in, and then they won't let you out. They'll make you sign on the agreement. So the business model is actually very much about making the building very attractive. So our clients came to us with one of a house, and the house next to it is much bigger. It's a showroom that's much bigger. So this client said, I want a bigger showroom than the next door. So in this case, how do you respond to that? And they gave us a really tiny budget. So we responded by going smaller instead. We told our clients, your budgets are small. You should go smaller in contrast with all the large guys coming up around you. So that's a creative response to the design situation. And what we did more is we planted a layer of trees, because trees are cheaper and they don't flout setback rules, because you actually can't build beyond further out. So these trees forms a facade for the showroom, and in response, the design idea has gave a solution to the business model of the wedding showroom at a correct budget.
How often do you get the chance to have that kind of dialogue? I mean, here in Malaysia, as a working architect, do you often find yourself able to have reasoned conversations with people about what they want? Or is it a matter of, this is what I want, do it?
I think actually we're very lucky when we meet our clients. We could, in fact, all our projects, if we analyze them properly and speak in a simple language, that suits their requirement and the contextual requirement, people will understand. And in fact, 100% of our work, it's pretty much agreed on the reasons why we do certain things.
You manage a husband and wife practice, WHBC, which is now in its 10th year of operation. How would you describe the work that you do?
The work that we do is very much about... it's very much ideas-based, right? It's actually about like what I described earlier, looking at the problem and finding a solution. And we look at design not as a style. I think general public would think architecture is all about making styles, right? Design is actually about how things work and how it lifts your spirit beyond that. So that's good design. If you just make a design that works, it's just a functional design, but it should also lift your spirits, and it should be a balance, a harmony of function, technology, and your spirit in the correct context. In the context, what I mean by context is the working environment you're in, your climate, the workers that you're working with, these kind of contextual cues.
There is a series of notes on your website, one of which describes WHBC as blue-collar architects. What does being a blue-collar architect mean?
I guess Wen Xia wrote this piece, and it was a fun piece that we wrote. but the whole idea behind is actually our office is a two-person office, and we have kept it two-person for 10 years. And it's by design, because we are hands-on architects, and we basically know every bolts and nuts in our buildings. That way, we are a bit different from corporate architects. Therefore, the blue-collar architects being hands-on.
Considering it was written now 4 years ago, do you still self-identify as blue-collar architects? Is it an ongoing identification?
Yes, we are still 2% strong.
Another note stated that it's not trying to be different that counts. It's how to be the same but better. Can you elaborate on that sentiment?
I think it's very similar to comparatively to like sports or other kind of things. You can improve very quickly in the beginning, but if you want to master the skill, it will be difficult. But it's what we mean by not creating novelty all the time. But you also need to sharpen your skills and your craft.
Would you say, I mean, going back to what you said earlier about working contextually, was that something that interested the two of you from the very beginning? Because it sounds to me like the kind of philosophy that needs to be in place very early on, because if not, you can just go out into the world and like any other field, I suppose, the field of architecture is a wide one and you can wander around and get lost in it for a while.
Yes. Interestingly, I think in all architecture schools, I think all architects would know this. We've been drilled in school about context, and it's always about context. And it's actually quite natural for architects to actually look at context, but the word context can be misconstrued. So we look at ourselves very much Malaysian. And context is not about what's the building next to you only. It's about your political climate, economic climate, your workers, migrant workers versus local workers, your craft people. It's multidimensional. It's not only the building, the climate, climate change, haze season. You know, these are all your contextual cues.
So when you quote-unquote dream big, you know, when you have this idea of, you know, an ultimate project, so to speak, do you have that? I mean, for starters, is that something that you kind of work around?
I think in my head, because I look at design as a way of, it's a special skill that all human beings have. Designs are not limited to designers and architects. Design is actually about synthesizing different situation you find yourself in and forming a very coherent solution, a balanced solution. So looking at design being the ideal project or ideal work that we'll do is we would like to look at design as something which can make a good big change to humanity, you know, rather than how public look at us as designers. We are just making things beautiful. But design goes more than that. Design goes like you could actually make changes at the larger scale, synthesizing change. Am I making sense here?
Yes, you are. Yeah. And so that's how you approach architecture as a whole.
Yes.
Do you ever find yourself constrained by context then, or is everything built within that?
Actually, in fact, context is not a constraint. It becomes a clue for you to come up with ideas.
And to solve problems.
It's very similar to when you have a dream at night. Normally, your dream is made up from the experiences you have during the day, and they are all totally unrelated. You holding a pencil, going to a radio station, and suddenly, during your dream, it's synthesized into a totally different narrative, different story. And that's the beauty of design, because you could create something out of the blue. And that's why it's powerful, and it should not be implemented at the stylistic state. It should be implemented at a more useful state. For instance, policy making and urban planning.
Whimsy, pragmatism, and humor are three words that have been used to describe your work. Would you agree with those characterizations?
I think those words characterize certain type of our projects, and in different situation you find yourself in, you can be humorous, and certain situation you can actually be even angry or serious. So it's very different depending on the situation.
I'm speaking today with BC Ang, one half of WHBC Architects. They'll be delivering a talk tonight at Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia's public lecture series, which is happening this evening at Publica. And we're talking about, well, we started off talking about how to have a conversation with the situation, and now we're talking about design philosophy. Up next, thinking processes and influences. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, BC Ang, one half of WHBC Architects, which is based here in KL. And we've been talking about design philosophy. Now, you said in a past interview that your thinking process is logical, like the Germans and the Japanese, whereas your wife, Wensia, said she's more French, in that she's intuitive and passionate. Were you both referring to the architecture or to the people to start off with?
I think architecture and people can't be separate. And I think both of us coming together is very much Malaysian. So we are quite mixed. So I think that's a good mix.
How would you imagine someone would say, okay, a Malaysian way of design thinking, what would that entail actually? What would that look like?
A Malaysian way of thinking would very much goes back to the word context again. Yeah. So one is your culture. Which is very much of an Eastern culture and very mixed culture. With reference to our food, I think that's the best way to describe Malaysians. And, of course, our weather, our climate. So it's not Malaysian, it cannot be geographically contained. I think the climate is the one that determines the difference.
What would you say are your key influences? What are the things that give you inspiration?
It would be our background growing up, our cultural background, which is very much be humble, work hard, very pragmatic, but at the same time also influences like where we grew up. Again, it's about working hard. So I guess this influences makes you be a bit tougher, I think.
After graduation, you worked for 5 years in an architecture firm before starting your own studio in 2007. What did you pick up from that experience, firstly? I mean, what did you learn from that five-year experience?
In fact, I learned a lot. My previous boss has taught us, has given us glimpses into how to build, how the construction industry really works, and it also gives you a peek into how a firm is run, and
When you split off, then what was it that you wanted to achieve with WHBC?
We wanted to become a studio that does design that resolve problems, like I mentioned earlier, and we are very very adamant that way. We look at design as a problem solving skill.
One of the things that I've been dying to ask you is, how do you and Wensia work together? What's the process like? What's it like being married to your work partner?
I think it's great because we can be. You know how in an office environment, sometimes, especially Malaysians, we can be quite shy. And sometimes we don't say what we really mean. So we have to actually read between the lines and so forth. As very close partners, as husband and wife, we can be totally honest with each other. So if you have ideas, if Wensia don't like it, she'll just say she don't like it. If I don't like her ideas, I'll just say I don't like it. So that is a very good, and we can get into arguments and we can make up after that. And the ideas become very strong that way because you are honest about what you're thinking about.
So between the two of you and as one cohesive partnership, do you have a design philosophy? How would you say you would approach a new assignment together?
Just like how we approach all our other assignments, we'll have to, analyze the needs of what the client is, and then we have to look at, we have to ask a lot of questions. I think the key thing here is asking a lot of questions, thinking about the design and thinking about why we do certain things. So from asking a lot of questions, analyzing, you always find clues and you always find different ways to resolve a problem.
How would you say your thinking about design and architecture has evolved in the last 10 years? What's changed?
I think we are more mature in the way that we deal with people. I think that's an important part because it's a very much way. It's very similar to the way we design. It's a very Eastern way of looking at things, going with the flow, because we believe we need to. In order for people to trust you, you also need to trust people. And if you head into say starting a project, a construction or project, very, very negatively, definitely it will come back to you. So we have found good balance to work with people, I think.
Do you have a means of selection in terms of how you choose the projects you take on? Do you only take on projects you find interesting, or in the spirit of problem solving, is it also just about trying new things?
Because our office is only 2 person, we do select the type of jobs that come to us. But the more importantly is our potential clients' working relationship with us. Sometimes working with a client is almost like getting into a relationship. So we look forward to it being positive and being it will inform the design further. So it will be better for the design.
We've been talking quite a bit about how your work is rather Malaysian-centric in the sense that you're both Malaysian. You know, it's about a Malaysian sense of design, working within local context. Do you ever think about working in another city or, for that matter, another country?
Definitely, because by working in another country, your work would morph very much differently because of the climate, the workforce. It will be very much different, and it's quite exciting to be able to work in another climate.
How do you find yourself keeping up then with trends and with what's happening internationally in architecture? Is that important as an architect?
I think that's where the media is. The media is promoting different novelties and styles. I think it's good to know, but it's also good to question and see the reasons behind why a certain building is the way they are, and be think about it and to think about why, and whether it's good or not. It's all open up to your own interpretation, I think.
You mentioned climate. What would you say is your approach to building for our climate? Because it is a challenge.
Right. In our projects, if you look at our climate is hot, and in the afternoon it rains and it's very humid, and these will cause a lot of weathering problems in the building. So, for instance, in certain of our projects, we work with concrete. It's purely because it's the most easily available type of building method, and we crafted our concrete in a manner where we can control how the water would flow on its surface. By doing that, you can actually camouflage the streaking, so it becomes part of the facade. And the building would age with the weather. Instead of being spanking new, it will just age with the weather. So year one, it might look really good, and year 7, year 10, it still looks the same. Instead of year 1, and then year 7, year 10, you need to repaint it and clean it up.
But idea of aging with the weather, or buildings aging in general, do you find that Malaysians are receptive to that notion, or are we in the midst of wanting something to kind of look the same? You know, we want our houses to always look newly built, newly renovated.
I think it's a perception and mindset. I do not know the statistics, but I think the mindset is changing.
Is the fetish for novelty an issue when it comes to architecture?
It is an issue because having something new, novelty is a shock factor. But sometimes finding that for us, finding a balance is important. So it's very much depending on the type of building. If the type of building requires novelty, of course, it's suitable. But if the type of building does not require novelty, then I think it's out of its place and the money is not well spent.
So novelty for novelty's sake is just not worth it?
Not worth it.
I also read that your father had wanted you to be a pilot, but later found out that you're colorblind. When did you know that architecture was going to be it for you?
Actually, I don't think I really knew it, but I knew architecture would be the biggest toy a boy can build. So I guess that's where I ended.
So for architecture students who are listening at the moment, what advice would you have to offer?
Always thinking, always questioning. Design is a tool for resolving problem. And this is not limited to architecture. I think it applies to all fields, doctors, planners, lawyers, economists.
B.C. Ang will be speaking tonight at Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia's public lecture this evening, 7 p.m. at Publica's Black Box. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Lynn.
I've been speaking with B.C. Ang of WHBC Architects, and we've been discussing architecture and design philosophy today. You've been listening to The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.